I want to start off by saying that in your syllabus it says the youth of Abraham. Most of the references that have been read or referred to, or the portions refer to the servants of Abraham or the young men of Abraham, but I like that in the syllabus it says the youth. We want to consider the portion as being gender neutral. So whatever we have to say is not just to the men, it's also to the women. The emphasis this morning is going to be on the portion in chapter 18, but it would be good to consider briefly the other two portions that have been brought to our attention where Abraham's young men are mentioned. We know that the story of Abraham starts in chapter 12, where Abraham, at the age of 75, is told by the Lord to leave the land of his father. And he goes out not knowing where he's going to, but he goes in obedience. And we are told in chapter 12 that he takes his wife Sarai, he takes his brother's son, or his nephew Lot, and he heads out. And it's not too long after that occasion that, it's one chapter in our Bible, I'm not sure what the time frame is, but in chapter 13, we have a problem that develops between the brethren. And Abram himself refers to Lot as his brother. You know, it was his nephew, but it was a problem amongst the brethren. And we see that what happened was that they had taken all of their goods and they've gone out into this land, and it seems as though that their goods, that their possessions were such that the land couldn't support both Lot and Abram. And it says that there was a quarreling. There was disputes amongst the servants of Abraham and of Lot. There was strife. And it speaks to us of how careful we have to be with regard to, we had in one of our prayers this morning, a lot of times we're involved with legitimate causes. Abraham was an entrepreneur. Lot was the same. They were wealthy, and at that time the Israelites were blessed with earthly blessings. But we see that Satan is very crafty, and he can use those things to drive a wedge between brethren. Legitimate things. We have to be so careful to have our priorities right all the time. Satan is just looking for a crack in the door. And when there's a crack, when there's an opening, he'll drive the brethren apart. And Abram, in what he says to Lot, we know that there was strife between the herdsmen, but he also makes it seem as though there was strife between the brethren, between him and Lot, because of all of their possessions. Sometimes, you know, it's a good thing maybe to want to get a good education. It's a good thing to go after a good job. It's a good thing to have a home that can be used of the Lord. But if these things are not put in the proper perspective, and I would suggest that all of our perspective should come from heaven, that we ought to desire in everything that we think about, everything that we go after, have thine own way, Lord. What is thy desire? And our purposes ought to be according to heaven. Otherwise, Satan is going to come in and there's going to be strife amongst the brethren. And Abraham has to say these words that were probably so painful for him to say, separate thyself. I can imagine that Abraham, when he goes out with his brother's son, Lot, that he feels a responsibility toward this young man. And now he has to say, separate thyself. It ought not to be. And we know how the story progresses. We know that Lot lifts up his eyes. And as soon as you read that phrase in the scripture, you think of a man that is filled with some self-satisfaction, some pride. He looks up and he sees the well-watered plains. He sees what reminds him of Egypt, where they had been illegitimately just a little while before. And apparently there was something in Egypt that was an attraction to him. Is there something in Egypt? Is there something in the world that's an attraction to you? That given the opportunity, you would go after? Lot probably should have responded differently when Abraham said, "Separate thyself." Remember when Mephibosheth has everything restored to him by David that the servant had illegitimately taken? And he says, "It's okay, I don't want it. It's enough that I have you." Perhaps Lot's response should have been, "Uncle Abraham, I don't want to be separated from you. It's enough that I'm with you. You take it all. You manage it. There will be no strife. There will be no division. There will be harmony. There will be unity. There will be like-mindedness." But that wasn't the case. There was an opportunity for Lot to go after those things that he had once before seen in Egypt. And he took that opportunity. He set out and he set his tents toward Egypt. So that brings us to the passage in chapter 14, where we see that Abram has 318 trained servants. And at the end of the chapter, he refers to them as his young men. These were those that were born in his own house. And it's really, if you read all of these chapters here that pertain unto Abraham, it's the only time that we see any conflict or any war. But these 318 men, this having been the only occasion for war or for conflict, you would think that, you know, how useful are they going to be going out against? If you read the beginning of the chapter, you see that there were many kings and there were many lands represented here. There was a king that was on a war path. He had joined with others. They had many defeats. They were a very powerful group. And they came in and they went to Sodom. And Lot was already a part of Sodom. It wasn't anymore that he had just pitched his tents towards Sodom. He was taken when they went in to Sodom. Lot and all of his possessions, the possessions that got him into trouble, that caused the division between him and Abraham, all of it was taken by this enemy. And somebody escapes and comes to Abraham and tells him about it. And what's Abraham's response? He calls on his 318 trained men. And this is where the rubber hits the road. We've got trained men and trained women sitting here today and in our assemblies. And one of the prayers this morning is that we may not just today or any time that we open the scripture or hear from the Lord in our prayers and our communication with him, that it may not just be for head knowledge. Oh, that I can quote the scriptures, it's a wonderful thing. But if we can't practically apply them in our lives, all of that training is for what good? These trained men were called upon. Abraham says 318 of them. It's time to go after. It's time to pursue. And these 318, it said that they did pursue. They did smite, and they did bring back Lot. It's something that's not a very good characteristic of many Christians today, to go after what was lost. Abraham knew Lot's decision wasn't right. Abraham knew that where Lot dwelt, he was going to get himself into trouble. But Abraham went after that soul and pursued it. You know, we're very good at seeing when somebody does wrong. We're very good at cutting off the one that's not walking that straight and narrow path. We're very good at turning our back on that one. We're not very good at restoration. But Abraham here is made aware that his nephew Lot had been taken by the enemy. And he pursues and he smites and he brings back. We need to have a love for the souls that have been taken away by the world, by Satan, by the flesh,